You know,
Please.
the definition of loyalty has changed. The definition of my father's loyalty when he worked at United Airlines for 45 years was you take the job, you shut your mouth, you do it, and you stay there forever. Right? And he did. He did all of those things. But the definition of loyalty, in my opinion now, and I share this very openly with my clients, it's not about staying at a company forever. Hey, guess what? Employers aren't looking for that either, right? They don't want you there forever in most cases. They want fresh blood. They want people with new skills. They recognize that people outgrow companies. They make strategic changes. Mm-hmm. But the definition of loyalty really is to give good time while you work with an employer. Don't badmouth your employer. Don't do anything that isn't appropriate, particularly now people that are working at home, still giving that good time, and to do the very best work that you can do. Don't spend your time while you're working looking for other jobs. That's not loyal.
No.
But taking care of yourself and your family, the first loyalty is to yourself. And the businesses, if they didn't need you, they would let you go. And how many people are sitting out there raising their hand going, I've been there, right? So, you know, you never want to set the tone for why anybody should pick your name first. And you never want to flaunt it that, I'll be out of here in a heartbeat. But really, you have to look out for yourself because you're the only one to ever do that. And a good employer will help you build your skills. And if the opportunities are not within that particular company, well, you may need to find them outside. But loyalty doesn't mean stay in place forever anymore. Those days are over.
Yeah.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. So welcome everyone to Rochester Business Connections. I am here with the awesome Kathy Lanzalocco. Kathy, what's up? How are you today?
Hey, Ben. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
You are the CEO, founder, everything at Inspire Careers. And you guys help people get the career they deserve, right? Give us the bird's eye view.
Yeah, there's nothing hotter today, Ben, than talking about careers. Everything from the great resignation to we're staring down at college graduations coming up. You know, COVID has impacted a lot of the ways people work. So there is no hotter topic than careers. So I'm really excited and happy to be in this field. And it's wonderful and it's gratifying to see people really being successful at stepping out, taking on jobs that they love, walking away from things that don't serve them anymore. And really just testing the waters in many cases to see what they're capable of. It's an exciting time for everybody.
Yeah, it is an exciting time. And this is an important conversation to have because it is for everyone. There's people that might go through a career transition, someone who might be looking for a job and testing the waters, or someone like a new college grad that doesn't really know how to look online or what to say at an interview. I haven't been in it. I started my own business because it was COVID and I wasn't getting jobs. So I started a business. So I don't know how to interview. I have my own business. So we all can learn from this stuff. I want to start with just a super silly question, but I go to your LinkedIn because you're awesome on LinkedIn. You're posting really valuable stuff. How many certifications do you have? Your name is like three lines long.
Oh, the alphabet soup after my name. You know what? I thought about whether or not I should have that on there. Because listen, nobody hires me for the alphabet soup after my name. Nobody even knows half of the certifications that I have. But the reason that I do have them are for the people that do know. So for instance, I am a certified professional resume writer, certified professional career coach. I worked in HR for 18 years. So I have two leading senior HR certifications that I do keep up. Because it's important for my clients to know that I'm on the cutting edge of HR. I'm still in that space and I know how to help them, speaking with HR departments, recruiters, interviews, et cetera. And then also something that not everybody knows about me is I was a registered nurse my first career many, many years ago, but I still have an active license and I work with a lot of healthcare professionals because I was in the culture, I speak their language, I understand that. So it's important, you know, if you're looking for a career professional too, to understand what their background is. And that's really why I have it, not to impress anyone, but to impress upon them the fact that I've been there, seen it, done most of it. And that's the value that I bring in many cases to my clients.
Yeah. I mean, for me, who doesn't know what the alphabet soup exactly means, I'm like, that's impressive. And for the people that actually do know, that's more impressive. Okay. This gal, she knows what she's doing. She's learning. You obviously believe in learning and staying chipper. I mean, I'm great at marketing, right? But if I were to pivot and no longer want to run a business, I'm in for an interesting trip, right? Let's talk about that today. So where should we start? Let's start with, I want to get into college grads because I know you're an expert on that. Mm-hmm. But let's start with just the general audience. And ultimately, they're looking for a career pivot. They feel like they're not happy, or even if they're happy, they're like, I think I can earn more and I think I deserve more. What should they start doing, whether it's figuring out their next move or setting up LinkedIn? Like, what should be their first move to kind of think about it, whether or not they pivot or not?
Yeah. The first thing I tell people is before you start applying for jobs online and you start doing all kinds of stuff, think about, first of all, what you want to do. We've talked about this before, Ben, when you allowed me the kindness to be on your 5-minute Fridays, right? Clarity, I talked about.
Yes.
Clarity, being clear on what you want. I mean, you could spend a lot of time on LinkedIn and Indeed and in Glassdoor applying for jobs, but if you're not clear about what your value is and what you really want that next step to be, then you're going to spend a lot of time looking at a lot of junk. And you will be asked the question, what do you want? Why? What value do you bring to this position? So I say the first thing you do is clarify, why am I even interested in looking and what value do I believe I can bring? Now, listen, just because people want to step out and look for things, I had a boss once who said, you should always be looking. See what the market's doing, right? But there's a lot of people that say, I don't like the way my boss treats me. I don't like the culture here. You know, those are important triggers. But sometimes it's best that you address the issues that may be holding you back at a workplace and not leaving. But in many cases, it's time to leave. And sometimes that's the sign. But trying to really identify what your value offering is, and then to be able to get the tools together that you need to be able to do it thoughtfully, intentionally, and to set yourself up for the best success. You mentioned LinkedIn. Oh, mm-hmm. Ben, people that are in the job market that do not use LinkedIn, I could cry, Ben, and I don't want to cry in your podcast, but it's so sad and it's so tragic, some of the LinkedIns that are out there, you know? And I see resumes from 35-year-olds that are still using their Career Center resume from college. That makes me even sadder. So there's a lot of prep work that goes into a successful job search, laying that foundation.
There's a lot, and I already see multiple bridges of conversation we can have here. In a moment, I want to talk about clarity and vision, but first I'm curious about, so the Great Resignation's happening. We already know that. And you said that one of your employers said always be looking. Mm-hmm. And that is almost a surprise to me because traditionally, before this Great Resignation, loyalty was one of the most important things. And I understand that maybe the HR benefits aren't what they used to be when it comes to loyalty. Is it a red flag if someone says always be looking? Is it a red flag if someone wants you to be loyal? Like, how do you know that you're in a good spot?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the boss that said that to me, he was progressive and he was concerned about his career and about our career, all the people that worked for him. It wasn't about sending us a subversive message that things aren't working out here, you know, keep looking. That was not it at all. Mm. He was like, I want you to stay. But right. How do you know that you should be staying unless you know what else is out there? I want you to do well here, but if there's a better opportunity for you, take it. I'd take it. Right. So he was always coaching us to always be aware of the value that we had and what opportunities were out there. Now, again, wasn't looking for any of us to leave. And I had other bosses too, that when I left those positions, again, they didn't say, let the door hit you on the way out. They were like, congratulations, good for you. And they meant it. And then the next time an opportunity came up for them, they would take it. So the better bosses really do that, Ben. They do it. And let me talk about loyalty. You know, the definition of loyalty has changed. The definition of my father's loyalty when he worked at United Airlines for 45 years was you take the job, you shut your mouth, you do it, and you stay there forever. Right? And he did. He did all of those things. But the definition of loyalty, in my opinion now, and I share this very openly with my clients, it's not about staying at a company forever. Hey, guess what? Employers aren't looking for that either, right? They don't want you there forever in most cases. They want fresh blood. They want people with new skills. They recognize that people outgrow companies. They make strategic changes. But the definition of loyalty really is to give good time while you work with an employer. Don't badmouth your employer. Don't do anything that isn't appropriate, particularly now people that are working at home, still giving that good time. And to do the very best work that you can do. Don't spend your time while you're working looking for other jobs. That's not loyal. No. But taking care of yourself and your family, the first loyalty is to yourself. And the businesses, if they didn't need you, they would let you go. And how many people are sitting out there raising their hand going, I've been there, right? So, you know, you never want to set the tone for why anybody should pick your name first. And you never want to flaunt it that, I'll be out of here in a heartbeat. But really, you have to look out for yourself because you're the only one to ever do that. And a good employer will help you build your skills. And if the opportunities are not within that particular company, then you may need to find them outside. But loyalty doesn't mean stay in place forever anymore. Those days are over.
Yeah, hone yourself, hone your skills, have an employer that cares about your skills. I like this definition of loyalty. And part of it is just show up and do a good job. If you're there, like, don't be on your phone texting, looking for another job at your employer. This is not just like showing up for work advice. I feel like this is life advice. Like, I don't have kids, but if I'm spending time with my cousin, or if you're spending time with your kids, your significant other, be present with them. Like Kathy and I are being present with each other now. Be loyal to them, which doesn't mean that you can't go and find another job if this job doesn't suit you. But my thought is, I worked a job and I didn't like it and I was miserable, and I only made myself more miserable, Kathy. My complaining only made it worse. And then when I quit the job without an exit strategy and a plan, the not having a job only made it even worse. So I'm starting to think, you know, prepare before the calm before the storm, right? Prepare before the storm comes. Get shelter, get understanding. So that goes into my original thought, and I'm scattered all over the place, but I was really excited when you mentioned clarity and vision. And I understand the concept of figure out, you know, what your vision is, but a lot of people are like, how? I don't know. I've never sat down and determined my vision. Like, how do I get clarity on that vision? How do I
do that?
Just
sit down and you write it out. That's what you do.
So you just do it.
That's what you do. I mean, what are you waiting for? And I'm a big fan of writing things out because we can sit here and talk and it'll get me thinking all kinds of stuff, but it's much less likely that I'm going to take action on it when we're done. And I also believe that when I coach my clients too, and I ask them to write things down, it's not a one-time thing. That's not one and done. You need to go back to, for me, it's worksheets that I share with my clients. They need to go back to them and add to them. It's very unlikely they're going to think of all these things that I'm asking them to think about in one sitting. It just doesn't work that way. And for you to really do that introspection, it's important to ask people in your circle of trust, what do you think that I'm good at? What do you see as my strength? But really, only you can really tell. That requires some time of being alone, some time of thinking. And I'm not suggesting meditation, although I'm a fan of it. But you know, I don't want to get woo-woo for the people that don't necessarily agree with me on that. But I do believe there's value in sitting down and writing out your goals and saying, where do I want to be in 5 years from now? That's a question that you always get asked in an interview. How do you answer it? Right. So what does it really mean to you? Where do I want to be? What kind of money do I want to be making? What kind of team do I want to be working for? Do I want remote work? Do I want to be back in the office? Do I want hybrid? Do I want to be managing a team, or have I decided that isn't for me anymore? I'm tired of being responsible for other people. You have to be honest with yourself about what you want. And the only way you're going to do it is to sit down and think about it. And I tell this too with my clients. I ask them to do what I call a negotiable and a non-negotiable list. And I have them put on one side of the paper what's negotiable, because everything can be negotiable. And what's non-negotiable for people? Maybe non-negotiable is I will only have a remote job. Okay. Don't have to explain that to anybody why you want it. But if you don't know what's negotiable for you and non-negotiable, everything becomes negotiable and you start giving it all away.
You say yes to everything. You forget when to say no. You forget about your own vision. Lose the clarity. I want to hear kind of a case study, and it can either be a case study or a personal example. Negotiables, non-negotiables. What should my list look like? Whether it's Kathy's negotiables and non-negotiables or a client you've served, what kind of things come up on each side of those lists?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly how it works in just about every case, Ben. So I have this worksheet that I share with them, negotiable and non-negotiable, with a line down the middle, not complicated, right?
No.
And what people do is the first time they go to it, they put down what everybody thinks of. I need medical benefits. I need a 401k. I want 4 weeks of vacation. I want Monday through Friday. I want remote work. Those top ones, right? And then I send it back to them and I say, oh, super. Take a deeper dive. Go back. We do this a couple times. I say, go back. Put it on your refrigerator.
Yeah.
All right. Because yes, maybe absolutely. Health insurance is a non-negotiable for you. I can't work for you unless I, can take care of my family with health insurance. But on that list should also be a salary range, right? And a minimum salary and a salary range to be able to say, look, I know what my expenses are. I know the value that I bring. I should be making at least X amount of dollars, $80,000, $100,000, whatever it is anybody wants. New grants, maybe it's 35, 40, or 50, whatever. So you have to have that as well. And then you have to take that deeper dive and say, why are these important to me? What does my lifestyle look like? So then you start bringing up other things like travel. Do I want to travel? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. In this world today, with everything going on, now's not a great time for travel, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be again. Right? How about relocation? Right? So people don't even think about that, or they immediately take it off the plate. But if you had that conversation with your significant other, is relocation an option? Maybe not. Maybe absolutely not. Then you put it on the non-negotiable part of the list. But there are so many things that are negotiable. And the other things that become negotiable are start dates, when you can get into someone's 401k plan. In many cases, it's negotiable. Sometimes it's not, and it depends. And certainly all this is predicated by saying if you're working on places that have union contracts, that's a completely different issue, but I'm talking people outside of that. What is the kind of culture that you want to work for? That can be non-negotiable. I want to work for a culture that is open and inclusive. You don't have to be an LGBTQ person to want to work with them. Mm-hmm. To say, I need a place that values those people. I need a place that values racial diversity. I need a place that cares about diversity of experience. Because if it's not you today, it'll be you tomorrow. So get that on your list if that's important to you. So these are the things people don't always think about ahead of time. What kind of boss do you want to work for? Mm. So what kind of projects do you want to work on? And then your negotiable, non-negotiable list helps you when you go to do the interviews and you have to come up with those questions at the end. And I'm never a fan of asking questions about benefits. That's a whole other conversation. But asking questions about culture, asking questions about development, asking questions about career pathing, asking questions about how your performance will be measured. You should find those answers on your negotiable, non-negotiable list.
Yes, and vet through employers and find someone that's a good fit for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you a little bit of a tougher question on this, though.
You're killing me, Ben. What?
How do you turn on your BS star? Because there's a lot of people that check the box, I have this amount of racial diversity, or this is my mission statement and values, and they put on a good facade and a good brand, but it's not until you're within the culture that you see that it was a facade and it just wasn't a good fit. And I've had that happen. So many listeners have had that happen. Is there a way to turn the BS star on and have that never happen to me again?
Yeah, it is. But it's important to recognize that it's our responsibility as a job seeker. That's where the responsibility lies. This is not about the companies misrepresenting themselves. I mean, it is, right? But it's our responsibility to be able to sort through that.
You're so right, Kathy. It's so not their responsibility. It's ours to take. We're the ones that went, applied, did our research. So go on. But I just couldn't agree more. That's amazing.
Yeah. And you have to recognize that you're interviewing these companies, and the interview starts before you sit down for the interview. So, you know, people are very accustomed to, well, I better research the company before I interview there, right? But how about this? How about researching the company even before you apply there? Why are you applying for a company you don't know anything about or that has a bad reputation? People do it all the time. They don't even know the companies. They just say, oh, that's the job title. And job titles can be very misleading. Targeting companies is one of the best ways to find a job. And many people don't recognize that. But in terms of your question for the finding out the BS for these companies, it involves doing deep research. And the research is more than what the company wants you to see. So everybody goes to their website. Everybody goes to the website. But how about doing more than that? Yes, go to the website. Follow them on LinkedIn, critically important, but you're still only seeing information that has gone through the communications department, the compliance department, the legal department. You're reading what they want to tell you. So instead, Google them, look for other information online about them, talk to people in the companies doing the kind of job that you want to do. Many people will talk to you. Now, you're not going in adversarially, but say, I'm interested in working at ABC company. I see you've been there 10 years. I would love to buy you a cup of coffee, or could you spare 15 minutes on a Zoom call with me to give me some pointers and let me know what you really think of the company? I'm just really interested, right? These are the kind of things that are going to help you get that information. But you go into shareholder, you know, these public companies, they have this information, the shareholder returns, the meetings are all online. You can get that stuff. That's public information. So they can tell you how profitable they are. But, you know, to be able to look up that information and find out, you get a whole different perspective. But don't be afraid to approach people on the inside and ask. That's where the real information is.
I'm curious, because a lot of people are probably wondering, do you help do some of that research? Are you more empowering people to teach them how to do it on their own? Like, do I hire you to do, I don't know how to read shareholder information, for example, or I quite don't understand it. Do you do that, or do you more educate people on how to do it themselves?
Well, man, I never thought about that, but maybe that's an avenue for 2023. I don't know.
Well, I think it's great. And I didn't want to put you on the spot if you didn't do it, but oh my gosh, like a lot of people, like I know my vision. Let's figure out my vision. Let's figure out where I want to be the culture. But then the research is where I think I would hit a roadblock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in answer to your question, I empower people to do it. I give them the ideas, I give them direction, and I say, tell me what you want to know. First, I do the information gathering from my clients, and then I say, okay, based on this, this is what I recommend. This is what I know that works. And I am a connector. I say it right on my LinkedIn. I love to connect people, and if I can find someone that you talk about, I'm happy to share that information. But I will not be the one to make that call, because if you're not willing to make that investment in yourself and your career, then maybe it's not the right job for you. But you don't know what you don't know in many cases. That's my job as a career coach, is to help people understand the better ways, the more effective ways, ways without reinventing the wheel, that they can get the information that they need at all points of the job search journey, all parts of that. But don't overwhelm yourself. You don't have to learn how to read a shareholder's report. I'm not a financial person. I couldn't do it either. But my point is, you can go in and find graphics about what the stock prices have been doing. You can go in and read what MSNBC has to say about these companies. And that's stuff that the companies aren't putting on themselves. That's independent research. Those are the kind of things that doesn't take a rocket scientist to do, but it just supports other information. But that's why talking to people is even more valuable than that, right? To be able, because what does all that mean? I mean, maybe they had a great product launch. Maybe they had a product failure, COVID interrupted their supply chain. It can mean a lot of things that you have no way of understanding at this point. But talking to people and figuring out what's going on there, why do you stay? That's a question you ask everybody, right? And to say, why do you stay? And if they say, oh, this culture's fantastic, you know, wonderful. Or people say, I've been here 10 years and every day I want to hurt myself. but I stay because I need the job. That's a different conversation, right?
100% a different conversation. Oh my gosh.
And people will be honest. They'll tell you.
I want to talk about college grads because they're our future. They're so important. And a lot of my listeners have, you know, children and college grads to come. But even if you don't have a college grad, I feel like this information, you can tell me if I'm wrong, it's going to work for a lot of people. I know personally, I'm not going to say his name, a good friend of mine was a machinist for 10 years, then worked for FedEx for 10 years, and doesn't want to do either of them anymore. And he's like trying to like go on Coursera and learn new skills and completely change his career. And he feels like a college grad. And a lot of us feel that way as well. But the reason I bring up college grads is you're like the national pro on college grads. Talk a little bit about that. What do you do for college students?
Yeah. I love college students. I love college grads because they are so anxious to learn and they're so ready, right? They've just completed four, maybe five, six, depends on how long or if they went for a master's degree. They're ready. They're ready and they're sponges. And the other issue is the career centers, all the colleges and universities have them, but they have a lot more constraints than people might recognize. Challenges, right? They do a great job. Like, don't hear me out there. They do a fantastic job, but they only have what they have in terms of resources. And at many of these colleges and universities, students are not required to visit the career center. Career centers track kids down. They don't show up. I mean, it's a very difficult job. And if these young people aren't ready at the time that their appointment with the career center is, they may not get what they need. So I was recognizing this as new grads were coming to me, and oftentimes they come to me from their executive parents. I work with the parents and they say, I got a kid, you know, I want you to work with them.
Right.
And so that's how it kind of started. But I was seeing these similarities with these college seniors, which again, as you said, translates to a lot of other people that feel like they're starting out new. So with COVID as well, a lot of these college students missed internships, right? So and they had to go virtual learning. They couldn't participate in their sports. A lot of things happened to them over the past few years as well. So I said, well, how am I going to support them? How am I going to help them get these jobs they've been preparing for? First, I started doing resumes and LinkedIn for them and then sending them out in the world. And I'm like, they don't know what I'm talking about. I wasn't doing them any favors. And that's when I created a program, which is my student professional launch program. And it's an intensive, it's a 12-week intensive program where I work with these kids one-on-one to help them learn everything there is to learn about job search, take them from soup to nuts, and I stay with them until they land a job. Okay. So, well, I don't know where else you get that. But my point is they don't know what they don't know. I teach them how to interview. I teach them how to use LinkedIn and all these things that anybody else, again, your friend that you're referencing, may not have had an opportunity to do those things. So where do you start? You start at the beginning, right? And you go back and you try to amass those skills. Coursera, LinkedIn, all these places are so great for building your tool belt full of new skills. But how do you apply them, right? That's the bigger challenge. How do you translate that in an interview? How do you put a great resume together when you've never done that job before? You know you can do it, but you don't have any proof of it, right? So that's very much what I do with these the young college grads. Or sometimes I get college juniors coming to me and they want an internship, and I help them as well prepare their materials for that, for the lucky ones that are able to land those too. And with everybody that I work with too, Ben, it's so much about personal branding. You know, you mentioned it before, the brands, helping people identify it. You know, we're all really a business of one. And do you know how to speak about yourself effectively? Many people don't. And that's important to understand and then translate that into your materials. And that's what I help people do.
I love that you're helping, you know, students and young people, because you're getting them started at such a young age where they're going to have a toolbox in their arsenal to crush at their entire careers. Me and my buddy Kevin were like laughing about it. We were at the Global Leadership Summit and there was like high school students that had a little panel and they're talking about like networking and things like that. And I'm like, I wasn't talking about networking when I was in high school. I was talking about sports and music and getting in trouble. And I was just like so excited to see young people looking at networking and talking about their future careers. Because again, yeah, you're giving them a toolbox and arsenal to crush it the rest of their lives. And I just, I commend you for that. I really appreciate that. Those are our future leaders, right? That's the future of.
It is the future. And let me tell you what, this Gen Z, right? These kids that we're talking about, greatly underestimated. Mm. They get a bad rap talking about social media and expectations. I'll tell you what, I think a lot of us are jealous that we are not asking for what they're asking for. We always should have. So I think they're fantastic. They're open. They're anxious to learn. They're not afraid in many cases to do things. There's always some people that are, but there's executives I work with that are afraid to do things. But let me tell you that the other thing is, if you teach a college student, a new grad, how to find a job, they're not relying on their parents to do it. And now they're able to take off. And that's why I call it the launch program, because I help these kids launch, get them off their parents' couches. I thought about naming it that. Get off of parents' couch program. And they become, seriously, they become independent. And they don't have to rely on their parents. And let me tell you something else. These kids all make more money too, because they're focused, clarity. They're not just taking the first thing offered to them. So they're making more money. And if you start out, come out of college, making more money, you're going to make more money exponentially the rest of your career. It's a massive investment in your future. If you know how to negotiate salary at 22, now look, you're not going to be as good as a 40-year-old executive at it, but you got to start somewhere. And if you know your value, you've gone through the personal branding exercises, you've got fabulous, powerful tools, you can readily recall what you've done and successful and why being in that sorority showed your leadership and captain of this team demonstrated this and that. Before you know it, you get an extra $5,000. Ooh, isn't that nice? And then over here, that compounds. And then before you know it, you're making a whole lot more money than you would have just winging it out there.
Yeah, you're investing in yourself young, then you're making way more money than you would have winging it. I feel like there's people in their 20s and 30s that need to have a off the parents' couch party too. It's not just teenagers. Again, it's empowering that you're educating people while they're young. Is there, I feel like we've already talked about this, but are there essentials? Are there absolute essentials when I'm looking for a new job, from my resume to my personal brand to my clothing? Does clothing matter, for example? Is that an essential thing? Are there essentials, or is it personalized?
There is some personalization. You know, I appreciate that you recognize that, absolutely. But I would tell you a few things to help make your job search most successful in the quickest time possible. Right? But it doesn't mean rush. It just means make it efficient and make it so that you open up the best opportunities for yourself. The first one is the clarity. Know what you want to do. And that doesn't mean that you have to have every detail figured out, but have a sense of what you want to do. Learn how to talk about yourself. Talk about yourself confidently. And if whatever you say, if it's true, it's not bragging, right? So understand how you can talk about yourself. But from a tool perspective, you have to have a strong resume. And when I say, and I always use the term with my clients, high performance resume, that's what I call mine. One that stands up to the keyword search is the ATS, applicant tracking software. And if you're listening to this and don't know what that is, you're in big trouble, because that's your first piece. I cannot tell you the amount of people that don't know what I'm talking about, but artificial intelligence, all this stuff online, if you don't know anything about it and how to format a resume for it, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to take a lot longer to get your resume through. But you have to also, when you're doing a good resume, is talk about accomplishments. The old days of copying and pasting your job description on a resume, nobody wants to see that anymore. Tell me, what have you done for me lately? So that I can say, maybe you'll do that for me in the future. And that's where the money is too, people. That's where the money is in the accomplishments. Having a LinkedIn profile. The only people that don't need it, I'm going to be frank with you, if you are a tradesperson and you get your jobs out of the union hall, I'd say network there, get off. You don't need LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You don't, at least for not today, you don't.
Yeah.
But for all the rest of us, you do. College students need LinkedIn. Every other person needs LinkedIn. And it's not meant to be a platform to hide behind and to be able to just put stuff up there and not engage with people. It's meant to be an open door to help you engage with more people. But if you don't know how to use it, You're missing opportunity, and you're missing opportunities to communicate with people and to get jobs and to have the jobs come into you. Mm-hmm. So really understanding today's job search, I think, kind of encapsulates that, you know, in terms of the resume and the LinkedIn profile. But learn how to talk about yourself and learn how to talk to other people. Guess what? Even when you're interviewing, it's not all about you.
Learn how to talk about yourself and talk to other people. So it's not about me. Expand on that. So is that like as the person being interviewed, I should be asking questions, I should be inquiring? Tell me a little bit about kind of what you meant with that statement.
Yeah. What I mean by that is, why do people have jobs in the first place? Why do companies have jobs that they ask people to fill that they need to solve problems for them? Whether it's a customer service representative or whether it is a CEO and everywhere in between, you are solving a problem for an employer. So it isn't all about what you can do. It's about what are their problems and then figure out how you can solve them. And so many people go into interviews just wanting to talk about themselves and answer the rote questions. But again, researching these companies helps you find out what's happening in there. How can I help you? How can I come in here and make a difference? That's another big difference about interviews today. Really getting to know these companies, getting to know the people that you're interviewing with, because ultimately, if you call for an interview, you're just as qualified as everybody else. It really, the interview phase stage is to figure out why I want to hire you over you. And how are you going to do that? Solve my problem. I've interviewed thousands and thousands of people throughout my HR career. And the ones that always made a bigger impact on me were people that were interested in the organization and what they could do for me versus what I could do for them. Those people got the jobs and they usually did better because that was really their focus.
Go in. So solve the problem well before you even go into the interview. So my concern there is I don't want to be smug and demanding where I come in and I say, Kathy, I realize you have a problem. And this is what I have diagnosed as, obviously, I'm not going to sound like this, but I've diagnosed this as your problem. And here is the solution, and not play the politics and just bring it in and lay it on the table. Like, that almost sounds a little aggressive. Is there a way to do that and not be aggressive? I mean, I'm nervous that I would go into the interview and I would just come off as arrogant.
Yeah, understood. But what I would say is, try to figure out what their pain points are ahead of time by doing the type of research we talked about earlier. But how about going into the interview and saying, what problems do you want this job to solve? Using that as part of when they say, do you have any questions for me? Rather than saying, oh, how many weeks of vacation do I get? Like, that's the wrong question. And instead to say, what is the main problem that this job is intended to solve? Now, you should already have a sense of what that is. Hopefully you do. But maybe you really don't, right? But there, what you've done is you've said to the interviewer, I care about what you need this job to do. And you give them a chance to explain it. And if you're interviewing in January, that problem might be different than the one that you, if you ask that question in June, right? Depending on what's happening within the business, the life cycle of the business and their products. But to say, what exactly is the biggest challenge in this job? If you were to look back at 6 months from now, you know, what is the one thing that you would want done successfully in this position? How would you know you've hired the right person? That says that they know that you are interested in their company. And you don't have to have it all figured out, but putting yourself in that position, they'll tell you. And then you can say, you know what? I've had experience with that before, or I read that online. Yeah, I thought that must be very difficult. I think I can help you there. And then go into talking about why you've had that experience at other places.
I love this. Ultimately asking them, and then you have the opportunity to answer based on what they want. One of my coaches taught me this, and if anyone listening has heard me do it, I apologize. It's definitely a strategy, but I do it all the time. But if I'm meeting someone for the first time, a lot of times I am meeting people all the time and I'm exhausted. So literally one of my first lines is, Kathy, I'm tired today. I'm just here to listen. Tell me about you. And by doing that, I have an opportunity for Kathy to explain herself first, talk about her goals, her dreams, her problems, her life. And then my response is tailor-made based on what's important to Kathy. And it sounds manipulative. It kind of is, but in a positive way, because I want Kathy to get the most out of the relationship. I want my employer to get the most out of the relationship. And I can't diagnose an issue and I can't serve them if I'm just coming in with a sales pitch.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's manipulative. I would use the word it's strategic.
Strategic.
I mean, because it uncovers what you're looking for. But how about this for another question for an interviewer? Mm. How long have you worked here? Why do you stay? What's the biggest challenge you face on a daily basis? Right. So what's the hardest thing about your job? It's got nothing to do about the job you're interviewing for. But what you're saying is you're trying to make that connection with that person to understand, because ultimately the jobs are all connected in some way, shape, or form. And it gives you further insight into the company and what these people are going through. Maybe the interviewer says, my hardest part is getting people to come to work.
Mm.
Right? We can't get anybody to work. Not because we're not a great company, but you know, we've got 55 open positions and we've raised our ceiling for our floor for what we're paying for. We've increased our benefits. My greatest trouble really is that. Wow. Wow. You know, that's pretty transparent. That's really interesting. That tells you a lot about their culture.
It does. Wow. Okay. So I just looked at the time and it's like, zhroom, our time flies by when I'm with you, Kathy. I want to, and we're going to go into the rapid fire round in a moment, but I do want to hammer on, because we only have so much time today, that Kathy has been on 5 Minute Fridays twice, and she was actually interviewed on the WNY Entrepreneur podcast, which was one of our local hits, the Sunday series. So all of that's in the show notes where you can dive deeper with Kathy. And you're an open book to connect with, right? If I have a question, I know personally, Kathy, I am always as present as possible, but I find myself 5 to 10% less present today than usual, because all my career mistakes and my poor job interviews are just like flowing into my mind, like, oh, I should have done this better and this, and I was really nervous at this time and I forgot to ask this question. And I know that nothing but the future matters. I can do it better next time. But if anyone's like me, they have questions for you, they want to connect with you, is LinkedIn the hotspot?
LinkedIn's a great place. I'm on there all the time. You can reach out to me and I respond to every inquiry. I may not get back to you that day, but you're never going to wait a week for me either, right? I make that, if I'm on there, it's my obligation to follow up with people. So I absolutely do that. And, you know, listen to, I got to tell you, one of the things that I think makes me good at what I do is the fact that I've lived many of the challenges that people have. I've been hired, I've been fired, I've been promoted, I've spent years at places, I've been downsized, you name it, been through it. Changed careers 3 times intentionally. So, you know, there's probably nothing that anybody's going out through out there that there isn't a solution for,
right?
And that there isn't a way to turn a negative into a positive. Not everybody belongs at every organization. Not everybody does well in every single culture. Mm-hmm. And you can't think that just because I haven't had success before means that I can't have success tomorrow. Right? You know, it's an exciting time out there, but we make our own excitement every day. So if you're not sure, and you know, I do a lot of career clarity coaching with people, trying to help people figure out what exactly they want to do. Right? But you got to put in the work. The work starts with you. The support's there. I can help you do anything you want to do, but it has to start with people saying, yeah, I want more and I'm willing to do the work for it.
Mm. So I want more, but you got to work for it. Kathy is going to be the problem solver. She'll help me solve problems, but mm-hmm. I'm going to have to put in the work to actually see it come to fruition.
Yeah, but you know what? It's work in yourself. And isn't that better? Aren't you tired of doing things for other people? I mean, really, when you think about it, it's for yourself. And is there a better investment than for yourself? No, there's not. No matter what you do, whether it's physical activity, joining a gym, whatever it is, doesn't matter. This is just one area of your life. But doing things for yourself, there's nothing better.
Kathy, you just blew my mind. And I'll tell you exactly why. Literally, my like, I'll tell you exactly why. Because a lot of people don't want to be entrepreneurs or business owners, and that's entirely okay. Honestly, yeah. It's a rare breed of people that want to take on the hours, the risk, this and that. So I just had this realization. When you apply for a job, you are going to be, you're not, unless you're already at a super higher level, you're not going to be the boss. You're going to have a boss, and you're going to show up and have to do something for someone else. But the one decision I can make is who that someone else is. I can make that decision myself. And as soon as I sign up for that role, I can't decide on how my boss is anymore. I literally, that realization just blew my brain off. I have nothing else to say. So wow. I'm empowered to find the right employer, but if I don't make a good decision, that's my fault. And it was my decision. So let's make it a really freaking good one.
Mic drop. You know, that's great, Ben. I don't need to be here. You got it.
I need you here because I don't know how to accomplish it. I got the big picture understanding. I need someone tactically that can help me. And that's where Kathy comes into play.
Yeah, but that's true. You are in control of your own destiny, and people don't recognize how in control of their own destiny that they are. But it's understanding it, believing it, and then having the tools to just start doing it. Everything can change.
So, Kathy, rapid fire, just to get to know you kind of questions.
Yep.
And I want to start off with Buffalo because you're a Buff gal. Tell me about so no more interviews, no more job, no more strategy. I'm just going to go have some fun. What do you like to do on your spare time? What do you love about the region? Anything like that?
I love about the region. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a big snow girl, but I do appreciate it. It was beautiful today and a lot of snow here, but I'll tell you, there's so much to do in Buffalo. And we know this from people that move away and come back here. What I love to do, particularly in the summer months, I love to do all the big community stuff, like slow rolling and the walks, the Explore Buffalo stuff, you know, the different places that you can go to look at the architecture and the different events. Through the networking groups that I'm involved in, we do a lot of that too, which I really love. The history of Buffalo is so rich.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think I know stuff because I've lived here my whole life. And then I find out something, I go, wow, I don't know anything. You know, it's kind of crazy. But so I love it. And the outdoors, there's so many beautiful things to do here. And if you've never been to Western New York in the fall, you don't know what you're missing.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Beautiful falls. Perfect falls. So we're going to go to either ors. Yeah. And I'll start with cats or dogs.
Yeah, I like both, but I will take dogs.
Like both, but take dogs. What about coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee, definitely.
Are you a beer or wine drinker?
I will take wine first.
So I often ask favorite season. Is it fall here in Western New York?
I love fall, but no, I'm a summer girl.
Summer
girl. I'm counting the days open my pool. Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm a summer gal, but the falls here are beautiful.
They are.
You'll find me in the summertime. You'll find me in my backyard, laying in the pool or getting some sun. I'm kind of guilty of that.
I am jealous of the pool. So
interview me there next time. We'll interview poolside.
We'll do a couple more. I want to do ones I haven't done before or haven't done in a while. Music or podcasts? Like, are you an information junkie or do you just like to turn on tunes and just fist bump?
Tunes. Classic rock. I'm a classic rock junkie because that's my era.
So I stole this question from Time Out with Leaders. They ask it all the time. But let's say you're going into the interview, you're going to job, you want to get pumped up, you want to get excited, you want to get in a good mental state to be on, like, just on the money. Do you have a go-to jam that you like to put on to kind of get in that state?
Energy. I like my Bob Seger. I like my AC/DC. I like my Journey. I like stuff that gets me up and gets me moving and really starts, you know, moving my head around. And that stuff just raises my energy level super high. And then I feel like whatever I'm going into, I'm ready to tackle. It has a huge impact on me. I love it.
Massive impact. I love it. We're going to do this again. You'll probably do more 5-Minute Fridays. We'll probably see you on Local Hits, on other shows from the area. Wow. Okay, so this was fun. Let's say it one more time. How do people connect with you? Obviously, LinkedIn, that'll be in the show notes. Should we direct them to their website? Should they call you, email you? Where should I go with my questions?
Yeah, you know, if you're on LinkedIn, reach out to me on LinkedIn. But one of the best ways to find me, too, is just put in Inspire Careers, www.inspirecareers.com. Take a look at my website. Learn more about me. I've got samples of my resumes on there, both on my LinkedIn and on my website. I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of testimonials. Take a look. I mean, it's no different than when you are interviewing in a future employer. If you're looking for a career partner, you should do your research on them too. So, you know, I invite you to look at either one of them. Most of my clients come through referrals. So if you know somebody else that has worked for, you know, with me, talk to them, ask them. But I can be found a lot of different places, and I am always happy to talk to people.
I know you are. I'm always happy to chat with you. You're a connector. You're a breath and wealth of knowledge on LinkedIn. So follow her there, inspirecareers.com. Fun tip, you don't need the www dot anymore. You can just go straight.
See what you told me? Like, you made me learn.
The www, first off, takes way too long for me to get out. Second off, I mean, inspirecareers.com, boom. Don't need to, the internet will figure it out for you, I promise.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah. Thank you again for coming on, though. I tremendously appreciate it.
Great time. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.
What happened here? Okay, where am I? Not that bad.